Here's a fact that will upend everything you thought you knew about creative genius. Michelangelo died worth roughly $47 million in today's money. Not starving in a garret, not penniless and unappreciated, wealthy. The man we've mythologized as the quintessential tortured artist was actually a shrewd businessman who invested wisely and lived comfortably. This discovery, made by Professor Rab Hatfield while examining bank records, shatters the foundational myth of creative life, that suffering and poverty are prerequisites for great art. The starving artist narrative, popularized by Henry Merger's 19th century romanticization of bohemian poverty, has misled generations into believing that creativity and financial stability are somehow incompatible. This false choice has cost countless talented people their dreams. The truth is simpler and more liberating. Real artists don't starve. They build sustainable careers without compromising their vision, and the path forward requires rejecting outdated myths in favor of practical principles that distinguish those who thrive from those who merely survive. Adrian Cardenas achieved the dream, playing Major League Baseball for the Chicago Cubs, earning nearly $1 million annually. Yet his teammates mocked him for reading Tolstoy in the locker room. Despite the success, Adrian felt profoundly disconnected. He had abandoned his passion for writing. In a move echoing his father's escape from Cuba, Adrian walked away from professional sports to become a writer. Today, his work appears in The New Yorker and New York Times. His story reveals a fundamental truth. Artistic identity isn't bestowed by fate. It's a deliberate choice made when we decide between meeting others' expectations and reimagining our future. Research by psychologist Paul Torrens shows creative individuals naturally resist blind compliance. Michelangelo believed he descended from nobility. Historians debunked this, but this belief fundamentally shaped his identity and success. What we believe about ourselves becomes reality. We don't fake confidence until we achieve success. We believe in our identity until we become it. Creative dreams aren't launched overnight, but built gradually through consistent small steps. John Grisham wrote his first novel one page daily while working as a lawyer. Research shows cautious entrepreneurs who maintain day jobs are 33% more likely to succeed than those who take the leap prematurely. When Jim Henson's Sam and Friends debuted in 1955, audiences believed they witnessed pure originality. In reality, Henson masterfully combined his grandmother's sewing skills, Bert Tilstrom's puppetry techniques, his mother's wit, and Ernie Kovacs's innovative camera work. As Will Durant observed, nothing is new except arrangement. Creative work isn't about inventing from nothing, it's rearranging existing ideas in fresh ways. Renaissance apprentices copied masters so precisely their work became indistinguishable from originals. Twyla Tharp studied every great dancer in New York, standing behind them in copying mode, letting their techniques imprint on her muscles. Hunter S. Thompson copied Fitzgerald's The Great Gatsby word for word to understand his style. We find our voice by mimicking others first. Tia Link followed friends to law school, believing a law degree would be versatile. Instead, it limited her to being a lawyer. After experiencing deep unhappiness at a Wall Street firm, she took acting classes on a whim and fell in love. Her legal training surprisingly provided valuable skills for acting, particularly the appearance of confidence. Despite doubts about being too old, Tia designed her own informal apprenticeship, building a bridge from law to acting by doing both simultaneously. Creative success rarely comes from a mythical big break. Thriving artists become apprentices rather than waiting for serendipity. Apprenticeship is deliberately difficult, requiring patience to wait for results, perseverance to outlast those who quit early, and humility to attract masters willing to invest in your development. Young Michelangelo approached Domenico Ghirlandaio with remarkable audacity, not only requesting an apprenticeship, but asking to be paid. Beyond technical skills, he absorbed what it meant to run a studio, manage apprentices, and handle patrons. Modern apprenticeships are less formal but equally vital. Find a master worth studying and immerse yourself in their work. follow their methods exactly before approaching them. Don't ask to pick their brain. Show you've done your homework and applied their teaching successfully. Apprenticeships aren't meant to last forever. Eventually, you must graduate and create original work. Creative theft requires a code of conduct. Study influences pushing boundaries and honor them by acknowledging their inspiration. Cite your sources generously. Don't merely copy-paste, curate before you create, bringing influences together in genuinely new ways. True creative success arrives when you're no longer the thief, but the one being robbed, when others feel compelled to steal from you. F. Scott Fitzgerald pursued writing despite Zelda Sayre's reluctance to marry an unpublished author. After 122 rejection slips, which he plastered on his walls as fuel, Scribner's accepted his first novel, and Zelda agreed to marry him. But Fitzgerald's stubbornness became destructive. When The Great Gatsby flopped critically and commercially, his confidence shattered. Zelda's hospitalization and his retreat to despised Hollywood screenwriting deepened his decline. He died at 44, believing himself a failure, lacking what Angela Duckworth calls grit, perseverance paired with tactical flexibility. Jeff Bezos models strategic stubbornness through Amazon's principle. We are stubborn on vision, we are flexible on details. Despite failures like the Fire Phone, he champions experimentation. At 24, Zach Pritchard escaped an unfulfilling music job by proposing a Kickstarter for Donald Miller's struggling film project, raising $345,992 and launching a production company. Thriving artists stay unwavering in vision, but adaptable in execution, transforming stubbornness into grit rather than ego. In 1948, 19-year-old Elvis Presley visited Sun's studio to record a personal record. Sam Phillips, the studio owner, wasn't impressed. Months later, during a break in a lackluster audition, Elvis spontaneously played That's All Right, Mama. Phillips recorded it, shared it with a local DJ, and within 2 years, Elvis was a star. Behind many creative geniuses is an invisible influencer. Before you reach an audience of many, you must first reach an audience of one. Patrons aren't just an elite class, they're all around us. When I traveled with my band after college, ordinary people became our patrons, providing meals, beds, and donations. When Michelangelo met Lorenzo de' Medici, he demonstrated both competence and teachability by adjusting his faun sculpture based on Lorenzo's suggestion, leading to an invitation to work in his palace. Influencers want to help people worth their time, those already doing the work and willing to learn. Location matters profoundly for creative success. When Ernest Hemingway returned from WW1, directionless and heartbroken, he followed Sherwood Anderson's advice to move to Paris. There, he exchanged boxing lessons with Ezra Pound for writing tips, met F. Scott Fitzgerald, who introduced him to editor Maxwell Perkins, and absorbed Gertrude Stein's wisdom. Richard Florida discovered that creative professionals, now a third of the workforce, choose locations for vibrant cultural scenes, not just jobs. For artist Hank Willis Thomas, grad school provided what every artist needs, a network. His classmates became curators, collectors, dealers, and patrons. "All my great opportunities have come from friends," he explains. Creative success is rarely solo. It's a partnership between artist and patron, talent and advocate. Stephanie Holligan transformed from financial literacy expert to successful cartoonist by sharing her work publicly, demonstrating how practicing in public simultaneously improves skills and builds an audience. Chris Rock tests new material at small clubs, performing unpolished sets 40-50 times before major tours. Despite bombing, he knows real growth happens when there's an audience waiting and deadlines matter. Beyoncé's album Lemonade credited 72 writers, sparking backlash questioning her genius. This stems from our misguided belief that true artists work alone. However, creativity researcher Keith Sawyer states, "You cannot be creative alone." The Florida Highwaymen, 26 untrained African-American painters, collaborated in the segregated 1960s South, painting and selling together while competing daily. Their collaboration produced an estimated 200,000 paintings, what historians call the last great art movement of the 20th century. Belissa Dinwiddie started with a $25 commission that took 40 hours, gradually building a creative career. Getting paid validated her artist's identity. Making money from art doesn't mean selling out. It requires befriending the business side of creativity. Science fiction writer Harlan Ellison refused even exposure opportunities, insisting his stance was about dignity, taking yourself seriously so others will too. Michelangelo demanded being addressed by surname, distinguishing himself from manual laborers. This self-respect made him the wealthiest artist of his time. We must value our work before others will. In 1598, Shakespeare invested £70 to become part owner of Chamberlain's Men, producing masterpieces like Much Ado About Nothing and Julius Caesar. Jim Henson refused $100,000 for puppet Ralph to keep ownership of the Muppets. George Lucas financed The Empire Strikes Back himself after Fox kept 60% of Star Wars profits, investing $20 million to secure 50 to 77% of gross profits, 90% of merchandising, and full rights. The film grossed 4 times Star Wars opening weekend. Thriving artists resist selling out too soon. Great artists master multiple skills. Michael Jackson purchased the Beatles catalog for $47.5 million in 1985, growing it to over $500 million. Dr. Dre left NWA to co-found Death Row Records, then launched Aftermath Entertainment, discovering Eminem and 50 Cent. Recognizing poor audio quality was destroying music, he created Beats headphones, selling to Apple for $620 million. Alan Bean, the fourth man on the moon, left NASA at 50 to paint lunar landscapes, not from creative whim, but duty. Though initially unskilled, Bean devoted himself to improving, eventually selling paintings for hundreds of thousands. For Bean, art fulfilled his responsibility. Money enabled continued creation. The starving artist myth is false. Michelangelo mastered 3 areas: his mindset, refusing to conform, the market, building influential relationships, and his money, charging his worth and investing wisely. The goal isn't fortune, but sustainable creation. Discard notions of artistic suffering and make money to make more art.